You're listening to Irish Radio, Canada's Home and Abroad, at Your Roots Are Showing in Belfast 2026. And I'm sitting across from three members of Whistle, who are a Dublin-based, who play Americana-style music, and that's reflecting their strong bluegrass and country music influences. And they're here performing at showcases. And I have Enid Conahan, Carl Lombard, and Des Walsh with me. Thank you. Little about Whistle. Who wants to tell me a little about Whistle?
Okay, well, I'll start. Whistle, in the format it is now, has been going for about 20 years. So we've been playing in Ireland a long, long time, and we've gotten to know each other really, really well. Very tight band, and we basically play the music that we like. We all kind of have this. Even though I come from a heavy metal background in my youth, before that, my parents were into country music and all kinds of music. So that's come back to me through the years. And we're very strongly influenced by bluegrass music in particular, and the music of the South in America. Right. Any of that kind of southern stuff, we love it. And so when we're playing, we have a repertoire of about 20 original songs that we've written.
Okay.
And you can hear the bluegrass coming through in them. Now, they're Irish songs because we're Irish and we've written them, but you can hear the bluegrass and country coming through in them, and then we play a lot of bluegrass standards as well.
Well, Carl, when you say that, you know, you go out to the US and they talk bluegrass and they say that comes from Ireland effectively originally. The roots of bluegrass are on this side of the Atlantic.
So Irish, English and Scottish.
Scottish music that went to America first, then it was adapted there by the Irish, and then the Irish actually sent it back to Ireland on the old records.
Yes.
And that's how people learned their main Irish music.
So within the context of the music industry in Ireland and performances that, you know, and all you have to do is put Nathan Carter up in front of a crowd and you have 1500 people there dancing, and you put Christy Moore up and you have 5000 people playing. How is bluegrass received in the market?
Bluegrass is received really, really well when you're there and you play the gig, but if you ask people do they like bluegrass, they look at you blankly. They don't really know, but once they're at a gig, it goes down an absolute storm.
We have the dancers.
So it's not it wouldn't be a huge genre in Ireland, really. Small number of bands.
Yeah, I suppose probably up in Northern Ireland it would be because of the Scots influence. I think it's more popular up here than it would be further south. But I think the thing about it is it's a very accessible kind of music. You know, once you hear a good bluegrass tune, I think you don't need to know anything about bluegrass to immediately, you're in there already. You don't need any sort of big set of tools to appreciate it. It's just very accessible. It's a bit like it's a trad kind of music. It just operates and it's at a kind of visceral level.
The other thing about bluegrass is that in a lot of ways the speed of the play and the notes is nearly a bit like some of the jigs and rates.
Yeah,
for sure.
You know, it's fine to a novice is not going to play bluegrass that comfortably. There's a fair bit of practice in there.
Well, it's funny like you should say that, because I would never regard myself as a trad player. But a couple of weeks ago, I ended up in. I was invited to play in a session in a pub in Dublin.
Right.
And I didn't know it was going to be a trad session.
Right.
But it ended up with about 20 musicians from Coltis Kilturi.
Yeah.
So there was box accordions, there was fiddles, flutes, a bouzouki, and they were playing sets like jigs and reels and all that. So and there was a tenor banjo there, as you would normally get in trad sessions. So I'm sitting there with a 5-string banjo, which wouldn't be regarded as a tradition. I think possibly some tenor banjo players would slightly look at what the hell are you doing here. But I was just playing along, and it's very easy to just play along with trad music if you play bluegrass.
Yeah.
I can accept that. Would it be as easy for a traditional musician to play along with bluegrass?
I think so. But there are techniques, right? Yeah. There'd be sliding on the beat, double stopping for violin, and you know, there'd be a sound that you'd have to work on.
Right.
You know, just to adapt that kind of sound and a different experience.
So, within your genre, then, and within the sets, do you have much or any vocal, or is it predominantly instrumental?
Because
a lot of bluegrass is very nasal.
We do three-part, four-part harmony.
Right.
I think on one song we do our bass player joins in. Slides up to the microphone.
Yeah.
Sings a few notes over somebody's shoulder. But the harmonies are we do a lot of work on our harmonies.
They're quite impressive, I have to say.
We don't go for that kind of high nasally one that you're thinking of. A lot of bluegrass would go the high lonesome, as Jerome calls it.
Because we probably don't have a voice.
None of us are.
Well, you need an accent for that.
Yeah, I think. So, yeah.
The vowels have to be shortened or squeezed. But when I joined the group first, it's a thing. It's quite unusual for bands in the majority to have bands that have a lot of singers. I noticed that, though, with this band, it's quite vocal heavy, which is nice.
Yes.
And the harmonies are lovely as well. So it's nice diversion orally just to hear vocals and then instrumentation. Balances that.
So why the name Whistle? Because given in Ireland, I would associate whistle with the penny whistle, the tin whistle, and I would expect that you're into what is traditional. So
it goes back a long time to when, before we were kind of doing this type of music, we were more of a pub covers band, you know, doing rock and pop covers. And we didn't have a lead guitar player, so when it came to guitar solos, we would sometimes whistle when we were practicing, so that's how we ended up.
Right,
and I think looking for a name.
A former member. We had a drummer at the time.
Brendan. Yeah.
We were knocking around names, you know, emails. What about this? What about that? No, I don't like that. I don't like that. And then I think almost out of utter frustration, we were there one day. And he said, "Look," and I don't know where he came up with the name. He said, "Look, why don't we just call it Whistle?" And I think we were just so exhausted with the topic. We just okay, <we're> just so nothing terribly scientific. It was just somebody threw it in there.
And it's easy to remember. You know, that's a big deal as well with bands. Yeah. You know, you have to pick something that people can say first of all, pronounce and remember.
Yeah. Either that, or it has to be so outlandish. You know, there's one, and I don't know if they're still in the road, the Donegal band, Goats Don't Shave.
I always thought that was a brilliant name. I think they're still going.
Great band too.
So then, are you guys 100% full time musicians? And by that, the reason I'm asking that is I know that the music industry is such that not everybody is able to survive music and has to have other aspects, fiddle, strings to their bow, even if it is in the music industry, if it's production or whatever.
Yeah. So we are at this point, we're all
almost.
You're still doing a little bit. Enid is a music teacher, so she's still doing
a bit still of music.
But I'm still
but
going
to she's a professional that, musician. Yeah. Like
I am, actually, I've there, ended like. Up. I do a lot of deaf work. And,
and our bass player is a kind of a session musician.
Right.
He plays in a lot of studios and he's played with so many people. So he's always been full time. We had careers, but we're all retired from them now. So this is what we're doing.
I'm glad that I have a pension from somewhere else.
The music industry in Ireland does not pay.
Well, it's like people say to me what to do, and I say I'm ungainfully employed.
I mean, there isn't like we're very realistic about that. Like there isn't. I would not want to be trying to earn a living.
Yeah.
Full time for music.
And then likewise this country is it's a small market, so do you guys tour, and where if you do, where do you get to tour?
We've just played in Ireland.
Right.
So a lot of the time we're arranging our own gigs and trying to get gigs here and there.
Right.
There's a few small festivals that we do every year.
Right.
You know, like the Dunmore East and where else do we do? I'm trying to remember now.
We do Kilkenny
on a regular basis. We played the Electric Picnic, which is the biggest festival in Ireland. We've done that three times. you know, in various arts festivals, small. Right. But yeah. Most of them are running on a shoestring, and they they want you to come along, but they don't want to embarrass yourself.
So. Well, it
so we could air cloth the suit.
Yeah, I mean, you have to kind of budget to. We actually use our own money if we have to travel outside the city at all. So really, it's all about creating your own opportunities in Ireland. Yeah. That's the way it works, and people know that.
The main reason why we're here.
Mm.
You
yes.
know, because it's an opportunity to meet
for exposure.
You know, people who are organising festivals in Europe. So that's really the reason why we
just to move up a level.
We came here.
The way festivals are organised in Europe is completely different to here. They're very heavily funded by government and local government, so they're not always operating on the shoestring budget that the Irish ones are. So.
Yeah.
So we're hoping we'll get a couple of festivals in Europe.
Right.
Not necessarily a big tour or anything, because I can't see that happening this year, maybe next year.
Yeah, I mean, even sort of that you're not out of pocket.
I know.
Because if you do travel to play somewhere, no matter what, you end up paying accommodation and travel expenses. You are out of pocket.
We're going to share a piece of music, and you're going to tell me what piece of music I should... wrap up with here
from the album. Let's go with Stolen Treasures. It's that good mix of country and bluegrass, and it was written by Jerome here, who's just arrived with us, and it kind of gives, it's like a little story about the band. Here we are showing up to play songs our Stolen Treasures. So,
and if anyone wants to find anything more about you, what's the social media, or where should we be directing anybody?
We have what's called a Linktree site.
I have one too.
So it's linktree.com/whistletheband, and that will get you to all of our socials and biogs and the music and everything else. So,
Alina, Carla, and Des, thank you so much indeed for taking
the time.
Thanks, Austin.
Thank you.
Great to meet you.
Thanks, Austin.
Thank you very much.